Today, one of the biggest problems is in the mental health field. So many people are suffering from problems in that area. So many. Many more than years ago. And it's the influences that are coming against their lives, that are influencing their lives. The prescription that God has ordained to restore that is His Word. Because He tells us very clearly, get rid of the filth. Get rid of it. Get rid of the evil influences that are continually coming. The devil, understanding the devil hates us. He hates us. Anything he can do to hurt us in any area, he will do. Any area. There is zero mercy in the heart of the devil towards us. You think of someone like Adolf Hitler and how he felt about the Jewish people. That pales into insignificance when you compare that to how much the devil hates us. He would do anything to destroy you. Anything. He would lie and cheat. Understanding that, we've got to guard our souls. And he's telling us here, when it says to save your soul, it's not so much that, oh good, my soul's going to go to heaven now. That's not really the essence of what it means here. The word save there is sozo. And it would be probably much easier to grasp if we change the word save to heal, restore, make well, make whole. And we read it that receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to heal your mind, your will, your emotions, which is able to restore your mind, your will, your emotions. That the Word of God is designed not just to heal the body, but to heal the mind, to heal emotions that have been damaged through a variety of circumstances, to change our will, to mold it in such a way that it cooperates with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. In changing, in molding us, we are being transformed. And in that transformation process, God is able to restore us. He is able to bring wholeness to areas that have been damaged. He is able to protect us against current and future potential hazards. God wants to protect you. He wants to protect you. But because He doesn't want to violate our will, it has to be something that we voluntarily submit to, that we embrace. And He tells us the importance of it, because it says here that it is able to restore your soul. I'm going to read to you. I came across... Now, the New Living, I haven't always found it to be extremely accurate or helpful, but in some ways, it's excellent for some of the scriptures. It really is. And Psalm 91 is one of them. So, if you will allow me, I will read Psalm 91 to you from the New Living Translation. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you, me. Let me make it more personal. He will rescue me from every trap, and He will protect me from deadly disease. He will cover me with His feathers, and He will shelter me with His wings. His faithful promises are my armor and my protection. I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor of the arrow that flies in the day. I will not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me, these evils will not touch me. I will open my eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Now here, this is, the next two sentences are extremely important. If I make the Lord my refuge, if I make the Most High my shelter, then no evil will conquer me, no plague will come near my home. For God will order his angels to protect me wherever I go. They will hold me up in their hands, with their hands, so that I won't even hurt my foot on a stone. I will trample upon lions and cobras. I will crush fierce lions and serpents under my feet. The Lord says, I will rescue John Woods, who loves me. I will protect John Woods, who trusts in my name. When he calls to me, I will answer, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will rescue and honor him, and I will reward him with a long life and give him my salvation. Now, is that not an incredibly powerful psalm?
Yes.
I read recently that particularly someone who's looking for healing, whether it's physical or emotional, that this psalm in the New Living Translation, that's why I typed it out for here, read every day, slowly, purposefully, will impact your spirit in a very positive manner. Because there are things here that would change the way my mind thinks. Would change that. I would start to think, you can get to the place by soaking in the Word, by speaking the Word, by spending time with Christ. You can get to the place where the Word of God becomes more real than the circumstances that you are living in. Now, it takes time to get there. It takes time. It's not. There are no, and teach this in the healing course, there are no shortcuts. You can't, you know, circumvent things and get there. It comes by spending quality time in the Word of God with an honest and open heart. But you can get to the place where the protection of God, the blessing of God, the wisdom of God, the grace of God becomes so real that it becomes more real than the circumstances of life. That's what God wants for us. That's what he wants for us. But the two ifs here, if you make the Lord your refuge and if you make the Most High your shelter, those are the conditions. This isn't going to happen by default. We must invest ourselves in God. We must do that. But if we have the hope of heaven, and I believe we all do here, then it just makes sense. I don't want to be in heaven and feel like, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. I have nothing in common with God or the people. I don't want that to happen. You know, neither do you. So that's why it's so important that now, today, while we can do something, while we can not just appreciate, but embrace and experience these benefits from God, that we should undertake to do that. God loves you. Every one of us, he does. Every single one, he cares about us and wants us to experience the blessings that he's provided for us. But he has to be true to his word. So they can't be released into lives where people don't make any effort to embrace God's theology. My mind has to cooperate with the Word of God in order for my spirit to be able to appreciate and receive the things of God, because God uses our mind. He uses it. The things, as well, in fact, what does the Bible say? As, is that Proverbs 23, verse 1? Let me just see here. No, it's not that one. It's Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, your mind, so is he. You and I, we are what we think. Now, that may be a good thing, and it may not. The wonderful thing about it is we can actually do something. We can change the way we think. We can change the way we think. I used to be an extremely negative person. Is that not true? And I do not use the word extremely lightly. Extremely negative. I would find something wrong with it somewhere. And I was good at it too, because I worked hard at it. But after I got saved, I had to change that, because that's completely contrary to God. Completely. And it is through that transformation that faith can start to grow. Faith won't grow in a negative environment. It won't. That's why we're told to speak the word. And speaking the word, it changes us. Speaking the word over yourself will change you. It will change you. Meditating in this word will change your life. When we think about the word and we say, God, help me. Let my mind be filled with the word of God. Let my thoughts reflect your word. And ask God to reveal the truths that are in the word of God. It'll change us. It'll change us. So that when you come to a place when you need God to do something, and you need to have a miracle, and you will if you haven't, but when you get to that place, you've got something in there. It's like going to the bank and finding out you got $1 million there, and you got a bill for $10,000. You don't worry about the $10,000 then, do you? In order for us to draw on the bank of faith, we have got to make deposits. Those deposits are made as we meditate in the Word, as we are obedient to the things we read. You don't have to be perfect. We all make mistakes. Some of us make tons of them. But see, if you are seeking God and you keep the records up and tell God, you know what? I'm sorry. I repent. Arrogance, bad attitude, bad behavior, whatever it is, if you will sincerely repent, God will restore you. God will restore you. That's the remarkable thing about God. And that's why we've been speaking that word, Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord. Reason we say that over and over again and over again and over again is that it is, number one, the Word of God. But as we speak it, as you speak it, you are releasing that word into your spirit. That word is transforming your thought life, because you can't speak that word on a regular and continuous basis and think negative about God. One or the other is going to have to give. You'll either stop saying it, or it will transform your thought life. The other benefit, there. That's why I had that up, so that we see that the things that you and I say, God's listening. God's listening. He's listening to what you say. Now, that doesn't mean that the first time you say, "Thank God I'm healed," that the whole world's going to revolve around you. That's not going to happen. But it's the beginning of transformation. It's the beginning of transformation. As we begin to speak that word, you're planting that little seed. You plant the seed. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not an idiot. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not a mess. I have the mind of Christ. We begin to speak that word. We're sowing the seed. We keep watering that seed by soaking in it. We soak in it. That's what we could transform. We say, "The Lord is gracious. If I have the Spirit in me, I'm gracious. I have the potential to be gracious." You have the potential to be full of mercy and compassion. You have the potential to be pretty well anything in God. But that seed's got to be watered. Whatever it is, it's got to be watered. And it's watered by taking the word that applies specifically to whatever it is you're dealing with and releasing the contents, the power, the essence of that word. Because Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you are, they're what? Life. Louder, please.
They are life and they are spirit."
And where does he say that? No, somebody else. Where does he say that? See, that's where you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to know the Word of God. John chapter 6. Yeah. That's exactly where it is. It's important to know that. The words that he speaks, they're living words. And they're spiritual. The Word of God is spiritual. It's spiritual. The words that we speak, when we speak the Word of God, releases power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. And God's listening to every one of the words. Every word you and I say is recorded. Every word. When you want to do something and change something in your life, you set the target, the goal. I want to become less angry. As many of you know, I used to have a spirit of anger. I don't anymore. But it took me probably a year to get rid of it completely. Now, it was broken in a moment through the name of Christ. But the residue, the habit of, took about a year to get rid of. And it took a year because my reflexes were the go-to anger. So even though it's broken, to change that and replace it, it takes time. It takes focus. And it is focusing on the Word of God. The Lord is slow to anger. And if I have the Spirit of God in me, I can be slow to anger too. And so I changed it. I changed it with the help of God. You can change any area you need to. Any area. Any area. But it's got to be filled in here. That's why you need to engage your mind in the process. Your spirit will release the power. But your mind is absolutely essential in cooperating with what your spirit wants to do. And that's why your mind has to be filled with the Word of God. Because as he thinks, or she thinks, so is she. The things that we think about it, they make us who we are. They make us who we are. That's why what we think about is so critically important. We need to think of ourselves as God does. What does God think of you? Well, we need to find that out. And as I discover what God thinks of me in this particular area, I can begin to apply that scripture in the transformation process. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed. You're changed, transformed. That's like Christ being formed in you. You are changed. I am changed as my mind engages in the process of meditation in the Word of God. Meditation and cooperation with the Word. Saying, I am like this. I am like this. I am like this. And as I embrace that, God changes me. The Word of God changes me. There is a power in the Word of God. Same with the healing. That as you release the power of that Word, it drives sickness out. It drives it out. Just drives it out. It breaks its power. And that's what God wants for you. He doesn't want anybody sick. He doesn't want anybody sick, mentally or physically. And we look around the world, and my goodness, it's in bad shape. It's in bad shape. But there's so little appreciation of God. So little. But we can be the ones that express it to Him. And knowing that the eyes of the Lord, they're always looking. Who can I bless? Who can I bless? Who is doing something that I can bless? Is that true? How do you know?
2 Chronicles 16:9.
Why don't you read it to us then?
The eyes of the Lord goes to and fro throughout the whole that has seen those whose hearts are after the game, so that he can show himself powerful and that he has.
Everybody hear that? Okay, stand up and do it again good and loud. It's important.
For the Lord is
the eyes of the Lord.
Throughout the world and seeking those whose hearts are loyal to him so that he can show himself powerful on their behalf.
God is looking. He's looking for somebody to bless. He's looking. So put yourself in a position that you can be blessed. Put yourself in that position. If you do, you'll be the one to receive it. You'll be the one. Part of the problem is we don't put ourselves in that position. But see, having a selfish, negative attitude, God can't bless that. But when you are gracious and kind and full of mercy and goodwill, God can bless that. God can bless that. And He wants to. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. But you've got to cooperate with Him. You've got to cooperate with the Word of God. This Word will bring life. It will bring life to any area of your life. It will bring life because it's powerful. There is a supernatural power in the Word of God. Supernatural. It's supernatural. I have watched the Word of God bring a person from death back to life. I've only seen it once, but I've seen it. The power of the Word of God spoken over someone bring life back to their body when they're dead. That's the power that's in the Word of God. There's a supernatural power. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, I believe it is. What does that say? For you have seen correctly, I am watching over my word to perform it. I believe it's, is that right, Jeremiah 1:12? I'm watching over my word, God says. So, if he is, his eyes are going to and fro looking for somebody to bless, and he's looking, he says, I'm watching over my word, I'm waiting to perform it. I'm just looking for that opportunity. I want to do it. I want you. See, God is eager to perform His word. He's eager to do it. You don't have to talk Him into it. You don't have to beg. He's eager to do it. God is eager to perform His word. He wants to. He wants to. Because God loves you. He wants to perform his word. His word is a living word, and it brings life to the circumstances where it's spoken into. It brings life. It brings life. And it will change us. It'll change the way we think. It'll change the way we behave. And it will change the direction of our lives. That's the goodness of the Lord. And that's the potential power of the Word of God. That's a wonderful thing. You and I have at our disposal here a supernatural, miraculous book.
Yeah.
That can do wonders in us and for us. If we'll appreciate it. And if we will give ourselves to it. Give ourselves. Understanding, God loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. He wants you to prosper. But there's that word that goes with it here. Was it 3 John 2? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. But there's that pesky little condition. What's that pesky little condition? Just as your soul prospers. What's the soul? Mind, will, and emotions. So if you're a mess, mentally, mentally, emotionally, is this going to work for you? No. But it wants to. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to heal your soul and cause it to prosper. So when your soul prospers, what's going to happen to the rest? Everything's going to prosper. Everything. Everything's going to prosper. Everything. I mean, people spend tons of money on all kinds of medications and going to see doctors and psychiatrists and this one and that one. And I'm not saying not do that. But when you do that and you ignore the Word of God, you are ignoring your best medication. The Word. There's nowhere where it says God is required to approve or bless anything other than his word. So if you are doing those other things, I'm not saying don't do them, but add this to it. Add the word. Begin to speak the word. Begin to speak the word. Release that word. Release it over yourself. Let it soak in. It takes time. It's a process. But give yourself to it. And keep an open spirit to God speaking to you. Because he'll give you direction and clarity. Amen? Well, that helped me. I hope it did something for you. So, thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you and thank you for the goodness of your heart to us. I pray that your word today would help each and every one of us. I thank God for it. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And for its wonderful transforming power. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.